Okay, let's give it a try, Christine, and we'll go from here, but I'll keep letting you know. Okay, so I interrupted you, unfortunately. We were talking about people bringing things, but then I think you moved a little bit. So if you can go back to the importance of
people bring things with them.
Yeah. What they hold sacred.
So any of the products that's any of the items, generally they're smaller items, whether it be their suitcase or just things that they could fit in the suitcase or carry along with them, then they would, that's what they would bring with them. And then they kept very sacred to them because that's all they could have. Those are their numbers. Those are their things from home. And for a lot of the families, they don't necessarily have a lot of family back home or somewhere you can go back home to. So that's really all they have. And then I know it's kind of funny because they always say that sometimes there's problems in certain areas, and also you always, even now as an American going back, a lot of people may fear going back because they don't know what's going to happen. And then, when my parents came here, they came in, and I'm not sure year-wise or anything how long it took them to get my grandparents here, but they also told us their stories about how they came and what they had to do, how their sponsors helped them. And probably the funniest story was that my dad always makes the reference that we got here and he only had $20 in his pocket, and that's all he had to his name, and he didn't know where to go to buy milk, and my brothers were crying, and he didn't know what to do, and so finally he goes to the machine to get a candy bar and kind of gives it to him because, they don't know. They come here and they know no English, they know nothing, they know, all the products, all the items are different. So, all he wanted was because back home they had condensed canned milk, and so they didn't know what a bottle of milk, what a jar of milk was when they came here. And so, it was a learning process, so I encouraged him to do that and talked about how he had a bike to work and how he made my dad generally work, my mom stayed home and watched the kids, and how he would bike to work, and so they went to school to get their GEDs.
They did.
Yeah, both my parents went to school to get their GEDs. My dad was really excited. And my dad got his first. And then he would tell a story about how he went to school, and then his teacher told him, when you cross the crosswalk, you have to wait for the walk across the man to come on, and so if it doesn't come on, don't cross, because you might get hit. And so he's like, yeah. And so I went to the stop sign, and I went to the crosswalk, and never turned so that I could walk, and so I just sat there, and I didn't know, and that's, things as simple as that we take for granted, that we don't know. And that's when my dad said, there's a biker that came by, pressed the button. He's like, nobody's going to press the button. So I've been standing here. And so just little things like that.
Do you know where he got his GED?
I'm not sure my dad did. I think my mom did from, I think her sister. They both have their story now. The GED.
And anything that you don't know, we can down the road. This is a long project.
Yeah.
It's a long journey.
That's okay. Yeah, so.
Okay, keep going.
And then,
do you know how long it would be your uncle, your mother's half-brother, how long he had been here for?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay. And do you know why it was Michigan that he came to?
No, I'm not sure about that either.
Is he still living?
He's still living. I don't believe he's in Michigan, but he's still living.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all in their 50s.
Okay. So he must have been
I think he was older. I think my mom's half brother. My mom's my grandpa had two wives.
Right, and I've heard that there's this.
My grandpa has two wives and older.
Maybe something you can explain to me the situation with that. I mean, I know that's, I keep reading it. So.
Yeah, it's not. So he's the first wife's son and older.
Okay.
And so, I guess it's all, I don't know, I don't, remember growing up and going to my parents' graduation.
You say you did?
Yeah, I did. We have pictures, and so I remember going. My dad video cams everything, so if you want to show my dad has video.
Oh, yeah.
He video cams everything.
Okay.
And so, yeah, and it's the beginning, and now all their kids are grown, and we're all in school.
Okay. And when your parents came, do you know what organization it was that was it the Refugee Services or some other organization?
I think it was Refugee Services that helped me out. I mean, I can get that information for you.
But there were also, and I don't know how they connect, but there were Lutheran services and the Catholic social services. Some of them are through religious organizations.
Yeah, I think the ours was a religious organization. And honestly, I think it was the Presbyterian Church of Oklahoma that had done that. Because prior to my parents still, we do the custodial work there.
Mm-hmm.
At the church, and I always wondered why my parents are doing it, had done it, and it was because my grandparents, when they got here, it had been some association with the church. My grandparents were doing it, and so my grandparents didn't do it anymore. My parents were like, okay, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the sponsor, my mom's sponsor, who sponsored my parents to come, was the lady who just passed away, who was a member of that church. So I'm sure that could happen. There would be a. My parents will know how that associated.
And maybe you could talk to your parents. I mean, explain to them.
Yeah, no,
what
I definitely can. Yeah.
And if there's somebody that they can tell me who I can contact at that church.
Okay.
Even though their sponsor passed away, but if they know somebody there who could, just like you're a. Kind of like an entree for
yeah.
me, which
mm-hmm.
is, you're very valuable in this process because, for example, I've interviewed two people who are, one fellow, his name is Tom Vue, V-U-E,
mm-hmm.
he lives in Lansing, he must be close to 60, and another woman somewhere in the Warren area.
Are you getting translated?
Well, see, that's going to be the other thing. No, I didn't have... Well, one woman, her English was quite good. The other guy, it was good, but he assumed I knew more than I did, or that I understood more of the history than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And do you speak?
I speak.
Okay. See, that's going to be important for...
Sorry.
If we do more in-depth... oral histories,
yeah.
And that's what Andrea Louie, the professor, was saying. You know, do we have people who speak Hmong? Do we have other Asians? Do we, you know, to consider the issue of whether we have people who are Hmong speaking actually do the interviews or translate the interviews. So,
mm-hmm.
Now, how are your parents?
My parents' English is pretty good. My dad's is a little more broken than my mom's, but
mm-hmm.
they can have a conversation with you.
Okay.
Without being here, they can have a conversation with you and understand you.
I mean, a lot of what I try to do is help with the comfort level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I, for example, there was an Arab family in Dearborn,
mm-hmm.
and the young woman who is now Laura must be about 35.
Mm-hmm.
When I met her, she was like early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
How old are you?
Early 20s. Yeah, 23.
And then when she had me for a home, it was really interesting because her mother's English was not great and her father's was okay.
Mm-hmm.
They suddenly were participating in the interviews,
yeah.
and then Laura was talking from her perspective and then busy translating because they got so excited about what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but she, without her, they might have been more suspicious.
Yeah, and wondering. Yeah, I would agree.
So, building the trust factor is really important.
Yeah, and I would say that once you get probably any older than my parents, I mean, it depends. Some of them went to school, some of them didn't go to school, some of them English is better than others. Once you get an order, like my grandmother, she like sells vegetables, so her English entails that kind of conversation of, you know, bargaining how much, you know, what would I get and what do you need, you know.
Which
very
in that
simple,
case, it's going to be more important to have somebody like
yeah.
you or another person in their early 20s. You know, do those interviews.
And yeah, and I would say it would probably, if you can get someone, whoever you're interviewing, someone, a younger generation of that particular family, like if it's their family or a extended family from them, they are more likely, the elders are more likely to talk because they have a closer association. Whereas if you just have a home translator, some people might be a little reserved, though that conversation can still happen. You probably won't get as much information as you would if it was, for instance, me translating, me talking to my parents.
Are you sure you're not an anthropologist?
I'm sure.
I mean, it's like all the right, I don't mean right and wrong, but
yeah.
your sensitivities as such to all these issues. It's really...
Well, a lot of people just do tell me that I have a... wide view of things.
Yeah.
You do. So, yeah. They'll still share, but and really, as long as you give them a core concept of, you know, this is what I'm doing, this is what I want to do, I'm helping you.
Right. Yeah.
Then they're like, oh, okay. So.
And it, you know, it's a process of, you know, even now we're the first time meeting.
Yeah.
Although I could tell by your email, it was like, you were right there. That's right. That's what people tell me when I send them emails. It's like, you were right there, Martha. We got the point. Now, do you have, are there other relatives of your grandparents' generation who are here?
My grandparents' generation?
Like they would be great aunts or great uncles or
a couple of quite a few of them have passed away. But there is still a older generation, my grandparents' generation, a good realm of them, in like Detroit, the bigger city.
Ah, okay.
And for our generation gap, it's kind of different. Because we do things based upon generation, so like I have a 5-year-old aunt myself. Generally, you don't see that too often.
But
because of the range
more than one spouse or what?
More than that more than one spouse can do it. We have so many kids. They have so many kids that, you know, there can be a 10, 15 year, 20 year span between. And so, my mom's youngest brother now, he's 27.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of, and so it's always weird. People always look at us weird. I mean, when you're like, oh, you know, I have a 5-year-old, it's like, oh, yeah, that's my aunt. And so, or my nieces are now playing with, my cousins, their aunts and uncles, just because of the, you know, how when people get married and how, and it doesn't usually like happen so chaotically, but that's what happens.
Well, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Because everybody's different, and that's sort of the problem right now, what's going on, which I have real issues with, you know, all the immigration stuff, and it's like... You know, the country is built up on people from different countries.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, it was Native Americans who were wandering around.
Yeah.
So that's part of my passion. My parents came from Bulgaria.
Okay.
And they were Jewish people. They wouldn't talk about anything. And, you know, so there's always been I had to keep digging deeply to try to find out, you know, their story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the next person, somebody's willing to share. Everybody's
different.
Yeah,
everyone's different. It is.
And we're all, you know, humans.
Yeah, definitely.
With different backgrounds and stories. Have your parents ever been back or not?
No, my parents have not been back.
Do they have any desire to go back? Or the home business, maybe, or not at all?
My grandmother's been back.
Oh, really? What year about did she come?
I have no idea. Probably, I would say probably 5 or 6 years after. It had to be less than 10 years before my parents came. I would say within that 5 or 6 year span from when my parents first got here. Because it was soon after that. It was not too long after my parents got here that my grandparents got here, too.
Okay.
My parents.
Your grandmother and grandfather went back, or just your grandmother?
Well, my grandfather's passed, and just my grandmother. My grandmother went with one of her. You know, the hard thing about home people too is that everyone's your relatives.
Okay.
And she went with one of her. I would say more. They're not really related, but one of her friends.
I have friends here, and it's like my little sister.
Yeah,
I mean,
and then
because we don't have the people that I'm friends with.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We don't have. Not many of us have what do you call it, extended family here.
Mm-hmm.
People, a lot of us came through the university to the university, or from the East Coast or Chicago or the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, they're my sisters.
Typical family, yeah. Definitely.
Exactly. And they're different, you know. I had breakfast this morning with two of my really good friends. They're my sisters.
Yeah. It's very cool.
So, I understand from that perspective what you're saying, but she must be a very tough lady.
My grandmother, she's very tough. She's very tough. She just recently, she hasn't been her full, willing, able self past few years. She had, like, a... She's crazy. A few years back, she had a minor stroke. She's okay. She had a minor stroke, and so she couldn't drive. And it was probably about two weeks span. And she was like, "Oh, can you go with me to go?" You know, she's so concerned about her garden. They're all always concerned about their garden. And so we went to I went to go garden with her. And you know, like those banana the banana boxes that come in.
Mm-hmm.
I was carrying it probably from here to maybe the door. And I said, "Michelle, it's really heavy, be careful." And I was like, "Oh, I got it." And I picked it up and I was like, "Oh, this is heavy." Walked over, and so I had to stop by the car, and I was like, "Oh." And I was like, trying to lift it up, and I come lift up. My grandma comes over, and she's like, "I told you I'd help you." And she just picks up it, and I'm like, "Oh." And so she's a very tough lady.
Very
you know, she has heart, she has passion.
She has what?
She has heart and she has passion for what she does.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, she was dehydrated, so she went to the hospital. She got out of the hospital, she went directly back to her garden. And I was like, "What are you doing? Rest, you know?" And so, they,
it's mostly vegetables or flowers or both?
Vegetables, mostly vegetables, yeah.
And then she sells them, you said?
Yeah, she sells them to, the local market. And then she also sells vegetables at the, like a farmer's market. They have one downtown, South Anything. They do it, I think, every Saturday.
I'm so happy that I met you.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Because I could never walk up to her without an introduction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's very true. Yeah.
Get away. Well, you know.
What's going on.
Right.
You know, and for her, it's everyday life. It's not, And I would say that I wish Daddy would tell my parents. It's like, I wish I had just as much of my grandmother or my mom, because they work so hard and they come over here. Their thoughts and ideas and how things should be is not, I need to fend for myself, I need to do for everybody, my family, to make sure everybody's okay. And so that's why they work so hard, and that's why they do until they can't do anymore, and they continue to do even after that. And so it's, I always think very respectful to, I'm very proud to come from both of them, I guess.
I'll say that way.
But yeah, she's a strong lady. And even now, she's like, if we do something where she's low, she's like, "Oh, I'll do it," you know? And my mom's very much the same, too. My mom's like, "You can't do it at my pace, you can't do it the way I like it, then go." And so my mom and my grandmother is like one, and they work well together. You wouldn't even be able to tell. And just recently, my grandmother starting to age, not after her stroke, but before then, she looked the same. We looked at our pictures when they first came, and maybe about 5-7 years ago, she looked exactly the same.
Do you know how old she is?
She's 73.
And... Now, do you know if she was born in Laos or if she came further from China?
I believe she was born in Laos.
And did you say or not any of her siblings came to or not?
Well,
they're the ones that...
Her sister is here. Her sister's in Minnesota. I'm not too sure about...
Which generation were they fell into the water?
They would be...
Your parents' siblings?
Wait, who?
Who fell into the water.
Oh, my dad's grandparents. I mean, my dad's parents and sister.
Okay, so you go ahead.
Oh, no, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, so your grandma's been back. Have you ever been there or not?
No, I have not. I wouldn't know what to do. I mean, and honestly, I wouldn't know what to do and what to say. And if I were to go back, people would very much know I'm American. Sometimes you'll get hesitation, people will go back, people are like, they try to blend in. And so, they always say, you can't look American when you go there. Because then people know. Everyone there now, it's funny, everyone there now always comes and asks for money for, you know, their fields or whatnot. And
for their what?
For their fields or whatever they're doing. When they garden, their fields.
Yes.
And like, or housing, if they need a house or to feed their farm animals or whatnot.
You mean back in Laos?
Mm-hmm. And so sometimes they'll send videos, little cassette tape of like, you know, this is how we're doing. Because like, for the older generation, they still have family there, or people who they connect with.
So they send back and forth video,
cassette tape. Once in a while, you'll get one from
them.
You get a little letter, a cassette tape, sometimes you get a photo, just depending on how close the family is to you. And even then, it's really difficult to get photos even now there. So whenever they can send that.
So they're maintaining, what you're telling me is that they're able to maintain ties with...
They are. For those who they want to keep in touch with.
Right.
Yeah.
That's like they have any group of people.
Yeah, they can. They do. Some of them more so than others. I don't think my parents do because they don't have anybody really close. Generally, it's the my grandparents and their generation that generally keep ties.
That's home. Interesting. Now, does your grandmother live with you or in another house?
No, my grandmother actually lives with her youngest son, so my uncle.
Okay.
Which is typical. You usually live with the parents. Usually live with either the oldest or the youngest son, so that's why they always say get married to the one in the middle.
That's interesting.
Yeah, very homebound, very kind of like the Latino family. Everyone lives together. So they generally will live with the oldest or youngest. I don't know how, I don't know why. It's always just been that way. Never with a daughter. If the daughter's married, never with a daughter, because it's always the husband's family.
Oh, it's, what do you call it, patrilineal.
Mm-hmm. And so, once in a while, you'll see people do that, but not typically.
So what happens is...
So if like I never got married, my parents wouldn't live with me, that's okay. So if I was married, my parents would probably not live with me.
I'm sure you'll get married. I'll doubt it for a somebody will be very lucky.
Oh, thank you.
So right now you and your youngest brother are living at home.
There's more of us. There is I have four brothers and three sisters.
Oh, you have sisters too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Four brothers and two sisters. There's three of them. Seven of them. Four brothers and three sisters.
Two sisters.
Both my sisters are married very young.
Here in this country?
Here in this country. My oldest brother is married, and the third brother is married. And then, so in our household, there's nine of us. There's my parents, me, Vegas, the second oldest, one of them is married, and his wife. So there's nine. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven of us. Sorry.
Seven of you now living in the house.
Seven of us now living in the house. One of them, which is married.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to think what would be the best way. I think
one, I mean, your story is really interesting, and as I say, I'm very grateful that you're willing to talk and, you know, share the information and help me, I mean, sort of enter the community a little
bit. Yeah.
Because you need somebody who's going to
filter in,
say she's okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's tough. Some people have an easier time telling the story.
No, and I agree, yep.
And from the idea that I had the other day that we do three for the longer term project, but I have to wait on that that we do the three generations, you're really affirming or confirming that that would be a really good thing to do.
Yeah,
because you've already, you know, if you, I see things visually, because as I said, I'm a self-trained artist, not a formally trained artist, but it's like, I've asked you today to, you know, paint a little sketch, and you painted a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your parents, and a little about your grandma.
Mm-hmm.
She sounds like a really interesting woman.
Yeah, she is
And what's her English like?
Her English is broken.
It's the vegetables, the focus, because she has to work with the clients.
Yeah, and so that's generally where her English is. She does understand if you talk to her in regular terms that you would use, you know, in conversational. She can carry a conversation with you, although her conversations are broken. Her English is very broken. She'll understand what you're saying. Like, she can go to the doctors by herself and have no enough to be like, oh, you know, this is what I need. You know, one of us always goes with her, but...
So she's very resourceful.
She is.
But all of you are.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be when you come... I mean, you and I have a similarity in that we're both born in this country.
Yeah.
Even though I'm older than you are.
Yeah. And I think that makes a huge difference. I always think coming here and trying to learn English is probably the hardest thing ever. So.
That's right. But you speak Hmong and any other language?
Nope. I speak Hmong and English. And then, that's a fluent way, Hmong and English.
You speak other languages? Partially?
No, not enough to claim that I know the language.
Which ones are you talking about? Like Thai or what?
Oh, no. No. I speak Spanish mostly. I know the language.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. Not entailed, too.
Okay.
Both my parents, I'm not sure about my grandmother, but both my parents understand Laos.
And that's a completely separate language.
Completely separate language. And then my mom and my dad can understand Thai. My mom can speak better Thai than my dad, which is a third. It's a bonus, I think. So when they went to school, you would come home, you would learn Hmong. Depending on where you go, you would go to school and speak Thai, or go to school and speak Laos.
And what does your father do for work?
Both my parents are actually, they work for Pratt & Whitney Auto Air.
What is this?
Pratt & Whitney Auto Air.
What is that?
They are a company that makes these cylindrical cylinders for airplanes. More so blue-collar workers.
Where is that? In Lansing?
Yeah, it's in Lansing. It's down Pennsylvania by FedEx and UPS. Behind where it used to be Frank's Bar Shop or something, all the way down Pennsylvania by Toyota, the Toyota
where the flower shop where the guy was killed. It's a different flower shop.
I think it's different. Pennsylvania, further down, all the way down towards Holt.
Oh,
by that
okay.
Line. Yeah.
This one was. So I think what would be helpful, and you know, obviously you're busy with your studies and everything, but if you could, what would be really helpful if you could get some names of people who were involved with the church and/or the refugee services.
Okay, yeah.
And just if you could explain to them what I'm trying to do, and because, as I say, for the first book, I need to find out because there's nothing. There are some, there's a national immigration organ, it's like an institute, a think tank in Washington, D.C., and they do lots of research on the different ethnic groups and how many people came in which year, but I really need to find out, All I know is that they came to Lansing, they came to Warren, there were a few that went to Saginaw, a few people went to Petoskey.
Uh-huh.
That's all I know. I mean, I don't know any more than that. And in order to explain to somebody who doesn't even know that much, I need to know a lot, learn a lot more. And also, if when you talk to anybody or email, if you let them know, I'm not coming off as an expert.
Okay, yeah.
Because I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good at gathering stories and finding out information
mm-hmm.
and writing,
mm-hmm.
but it's not as if, oh, she's trying to be a Hmong special.
Yeah.
I'm doing the research.
Okay.
Really.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's my client. So, yeah, I can do that for you. I can ask my parents and for my friends to be able to tell me.
Okay.
Is there anything else that I can help you with?
There will be down the road.
Okay,
because I'd really love to do your whole story and interview your parents, and maybe you'd be there, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
obviously, you're going to Chicago, so... But, I think the part for me now is to find out the organizations
okay, yeah.
who brought
mm-hmm.
the people so that I create some structure.
Mm-hmm.
But then, see, some of your comments already were really helpful about the two different generations
mm-hmm.
that you were making. And some of the materials that I'm reading, which is what I'm interested in a lot of things, but what I'm interested in is, you know, how people made the, how they adapted.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And what they struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
And the basis, how do you say, for the other book, which will apply to this is, you know, where they were originally in Laos, how they figured out to come to Michigan,
mm-hmm.
what they left behind,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the life
yeah.
they left behind,
mm-hmm.
then adapting to this new culture. I mean, it's, you know, it's like
yeah.
if we go to the moon. I mean, it's, you know.
I think it's different generation of life, too. You know, what I was saying, what I could see would be very different from what my parents would say, you know. And my parents are kind of halfway in between, still very traditional and Americanized.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I always made the reference that I have this switch. When I go home, I do this. And when I leave home, I do. I'm American.
And see, that's exactly what I'm reading about, but from a, how do you say, like an academic way.
Yeah.
But what I really want to know is like, oh,
No, you're okay.
It's like, you know, the real story.
Yeah, yeah.
So that can support, you know, these ideas. For example, one of the things that I keep reading is that traditionally, Hmong people grew up in the mountains and were living in mountainous areas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then they come to this country. You've got all this technology and all this whatever. But I'm reading this stuff and I say, why? Well, but why was there no effort at least to settle these people in a mountainous region?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But people weren't interested in making the refugees and the immigrants comfortable. They were saying, okay, Lansing will take so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota
yeah.
will take so many people. But it was just all before me to say, well, it seems like a no-brainer. Have something familiar.
Mm-hmm.
If it's only the geography, you know, whether it's Utah or the Southwest.
And,
or,
I would say that for... because it was such a struggle for them to actually even get here, being here and acclimating to whatever was here was more important than having something familiar to them. So when they came over, my parents, when they came over, they thought it more as the opportunity to do something good for them and for their family. And so, you know, it was the Holy American melting pot, you know, really, the very idealistic land of opportunity when they were coming. And so, not to have anything familiar, yeah, they struggled, but it was always, what it seemed like from what they were talking, when they would talk to me, it always seemed this is a better life than we would have had. And so that's what they gauge on, and that's all.
Keep talking about it. That's interesting.
And so,
if you would, please.
No. Okay, I got it. And so even like now, my parents always say, you know, even now my parents will say, you know, I'm working hard for you guys. You guys realize that, you know, but do it passionately in a manner where, yeah, Mom, I know that you're doing this for us. And it was always, this is a better life because you wouldn't be where you are. My parents now even, the only expectation they ever set for us was for us to go to school. That was all. You know, everything that they work for is for us to go to school. That's all. You know, they halted their education, and I even told my mom, I was like, Mom, you should go back to school. I'm like, no. She's like, no, I can't do that. I'm like, Mom, the average age for people going back to school is in their 40s and 50s. You can go back. And she's like, no, I'm not going back. So she's even there, when they say, you know, we helped our education, we didn't go so that we could support you guys. And you guys are our legacy. Us being her kids are their legacy. So that's why they work so hard. And that's why they are here. And, you know, I find that very true. I see things, you know, I see people right back and or talk to them when they're coming back and they're sentence, and, you know, I see pictures here and there from people back home. I always reference it back home, where I've never been, from Laos, and how hard their life is, you know, because you have nothing else but to farm. You know, there's people who are my age who don't go to school, and their rural life, and so that's all. My parents pride themselves in our education, so we all go to school, and that's all they want. Yeah.
Dear me, I want to say a lot of food for thought, because you're touching on all the things that really interest me that make all this stuff make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the second or third thing, if you can get some names of the people who were involved in bringing people here.
Okay,
because
it
is hard to find some of these people, because if, for example, they were already in there, hypothetically, in their 40s or 50s,
yeah.
Or like this woman who just died, you know, because of the 1970s, of 25, 35 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's also going to be for me to rely on their memories.
Yeah.
But there may be, I don't know, records in the churches. See, I didn't know about the Oakland, it's the Presbyterian Church in Oakland.
Uh-huh, yep.
I didn't know about that. I knew the Lutheran services and Catholic services and refugee services, although I don't know exactly how the refugee services tie in the Lutheran services.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's another whole pocket that you're telling me about. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm sure my parents would be able to tell me that. And, I don't know if they had different sponsors when my dad's brothers are coming. I don't know. So I can ask and see if there's different channels.
And if there's somebody in the church or, you know, somehow affiliated with the church who would know where the records are.
Okay.
Now, if also your parents would feel more comfortable if they met me, I'm glad to meet them. I would love to meet them anyway, but so that they, you know, it's not like I'm...
Put a face.
Yeah.
Put a face to this. Yeah, definitely.
You know, I'm glad to come and meet them, and however, you know, I don't want to take too much of everybody's time, but I'm still very, very grateful.
Good.
Seriously.
You're more than welcome.
Well, that you came out and said, oh, I can help you. Like, oh, wow.
Yeah. No. And if there's anything that you're reading and I can help you help explain, feel free. You know, shoot me an email or call me or something.
Okay.
And I can help you with that. It's okay.
And what
I can give you my very vague, very, very small insight.
Okay.
I'll be going January.
Okay, I think what would be good, I know this sounds a little strange, but since I didn't bring a form,
mm-hmm.
that I have something that says that if I write down now that you give me permission to use this material. I'm not going to use it without your prior reading. Okay. what are we? October 18th.
Yeah, so if you need to be entertained about why people marry two wives.
Well, that's going to be important because it's a delicate, you know, it's more delicate. I gave Martha Bloomfield permission to use my information for her book, because it could be too, about the Hmong people. I understand that I will have the opportunity to review any materials before she uses them for publication in book or other educational format. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you could sign that and date it, and also you can print your name so I make sure I get it correctly too. And with the date, so that would be okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Few questions at this point. I mean, it seems like you understand what I'm trying
to do. Yeah, no. I mean, I think I'm okay. And if there's anything else that you think that I can help you with, just shoot me an email.
There will be. As I say, a more in-depth interview and to, you know, make contact with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And if
yeah,
in between,
do
you think it will be helpful for me to meet them? Because you'll be in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, it may be like come February or March or January that I've interviewed them.
Yeah, yeah.
That they will have met me with you present
yeah,
for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
And then
not
to feel, you know, it usually takes a couple times to interview them.
Yeah.
And then what happens just because,
yeah.
You know, you end up seeing these people more often, but it's not like I'm going to move in and take over.
No.
So they shouldn't be scared.
No,
and the other thing down the road will be to interview your grandmother, but with you there, because I think that'll be really fascinating.
Yeah. You know, it'll give me a reason to, I always wanted to capture at least my parents. Information, you know, I haven't had time to do it, so it'd be a good opportunity for me to do so.
It was funny because I've known the Wawashino for about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
My first husband was an anthropologist, and he died about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught in the same department. And he turned 90 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So he's now I don't have to do this for my children. You've done it.
Yeah.
So.
I know, I think it's cute when he comes to the meeting. I always thought it was funny because he carries like bags of magazines with him. And I just love that. And like, he's like, you guys look good. And, you know, I'm just being with him. I always think it's really cool whenever I can make their meeting.
How often do they meet about?
They meet once a month on Thursday.
And he's getting pretty frail. His wife's been ill, too. So
oh, really?
And she she's like close to 90. I don't think she's quite 90 yet.
Yeah, no, he's saying high and proud, so I always, he's just like, yeah, he's very, he always shows his family, pictures of his kids, and I was like, he's like, yeah. Not one of them married, and one they all married out of the race, you know. He's like,
which I find
very cool,
too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one of them, again, just like you're helping me, one of his daughters, who's she's closer to my age, she's been like a link for me.
Oh, okay.
Just like with the Arab family, mm-hmm. the Arab American family, the young woman who's, I guess she's now close to 35.
Yeah.
We still email and communicate.
Very cool, yeah.
And, you know, she's really my entree.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she asked me before I went, and she said, what kind of food do you like? I said, I don't know about anything. Well, I got there, and her mother had made, like, 10 different dishes. And it's like, you know, it was, like, unbelievable.
Very cool.
But what I'm saying is it really helps that somebody
yeah.
of the younger generation
be in the liaison.
Yeah. Yeah. Because otherwise there's too much fear. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and it even has to change. Me and my parents, I'm always like, oh, tell me, and then I was like, no, I don't know if I'm ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it'll be a good opportunity, and, yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you so much.
But yeah, you're more than
thank
welcome.
You. I'm
thank
so
you
glad. Do you need a ride back to
no, I still have my car.
Oh.
Did you walk or did you drive?
I walked, but I need to get rid of my...
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I'm working on getting rid of my blubber.
Yeah, I have somebody getting lit up.
I don't think so.